You're back on Green Left Radio on 3CR, and we have Nazanin from Feminista Melbourne on the line. Welcome to the show, Nazanin.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, and we know that you've just launched the mural that you painted as a tribute to Gina Armani and the Women Life Freedom Movement. Could you be able to give listeners a description of the painting and, you know, some of the other figures that are depicted in that mural?
Yeah, so really happy to talk about it. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So we painted this mural on the entrance of Brunswick Bat's gym. So based on that location, we wanted to add a message of hope, power and resistance, and kind of like create an image that would help the passerbyers, the gym users, the community, everyone using this space to both remember what happened to Gina Amini, what is happening to women in Iran, and also get something from it to feel empowered. So the work depicts an image of Gina Amini next to her tombstone and the sentence that her parents wrote on her first tombstone, which reads, Gina, dear, you didn't die. Your name will be our rallying cry. That is basically the starting point of the mural. And then this message is taken through the rest of the landscape of the design, which is symbolized by poppy flowers, which in Australia they symbolize blood of the martyrs. It's the same in Iran. Poppy flowers grow in mountainous areas. They grow in Kurdistan of Iran as well. And that is the symbolism we have used for showing the blood of many people who have lost their lives in this fight, in this revolution. And with every life lost, with everyone injured, with everyone fighting, the message is just getting carried stronger and stronger through. And that forms the chant of this revolution, Woman, Life, Freedom, translation in Kurdish, Jenjian Azadi. And then after that, it gets carried through, and we have depictions of two female athletes, two Iranian female athletes, Elnaz Rekabi, rock climber, and Fatema Adeli, a footballist, who each of them used the opportunity that they had during their competition to show their resistance in their own way. You might know Elnaz Rekabi. It was only about 18 days after the death of Gina Amini that she was competing in an international rock climbing competition in Seoul, South Korea. For all of the stages of the competition, she was wearing the uniform mandated by Islamic Republic, which includes hijab. But for the finale, she showed up without wearing her hijab. Her hair was just tied up in a ponytail. And just the video of her climbing this wall and winning bronze medal on international stage went viral really quickly. It was like a moment of hope and showing that women are moving away from this mandatory hijab, which was also at the same time that so many women inside of Iran were protesting without hijab. They were taking their scarves off. They were burning their headscarves. And the other athlete, Fatema Adeli, she was in Iran competing against another local team. She's the captain of Isfahan Sepahan team. And she kicked the winning goal. But instead of showing her happiness, which is usually what you see after footballers win the game or like they kick an amazing goal, instead of showing that happiness and that joy, she covered her face. And in the picture that went viral from that scene, you can also see all of her other teammates that were just walking behind her. Nobody's showing happiness. They're just all tired and angry, and you could see it in their faces. And that was how she was able to communicate her message that this is not ordinary situation. This is not business as usual. This is not a normal time. We're going through very painful time. And after her, many other footballers also followed through and in different ways showed their resistance.
It is a beautiful, colourful painting, Nazanin. It's quite emotional, but also very empowering, people fighting gender oppression. Can you tell us how you organised this painting by the community? I mean, how many people were involved in painting it, or who painted it? And just tell listeners where it's the street that it's located on.
Yes. So if you go to the, if you know where Brunswick Bath is, behind it, Phoenix Street, that's the entrance to the gym. So Phoenix Street on Sydney Road, that's where you're going to find this mural. The background is this vibrant blue, and we decided to have very vibrant colors. That was actually a suggestion of Zara, a Kurdish woman who grew up in Brunswick, who joined our group for this mural. And she told me that Brunswick is a happy place. There are like so many vibrant colors. People are dressed colorful. So we have to reflect that in the work. The original sketch that I had really muted colors. So that changed through this community participation and people joining our work. We worked on it over a period of 4 days, and we had a total of 34 people working on it. Some of them are professional portrait painters, some of them are professional graffiti artists, street artists, and a lot of them were picking up a brush for the first time since kindergarten. So it was not a a professional artist coming in and doing artwork in the most efficient manner. That was not our intention. We wanted to create this space for the community, for people who were impacted by this revolution, who needed an outlet to come and find a place, come and find this platform for sharing their message. And we had Iranian artists, we had Kurdish artists, we had a couple of Chinese artists who joined us, Australians, and it was definitely a multicultural effort as well.
Sounds like a lot of fun. You had it painting the mural. Can you give us a bit of an update on what has happened in these last 8 months in Iran and where the new democratic revolution of the Iranian people is heading?
Oh, God, you know, there's like a lot of up and downs, and it is hard, honestly, on a personal level to keep up with the news because it's so much blood, it's so much devastation, and that definitely affects your mental health. And I myself am not following that closely with the news as much as I was maybe 6-7 months ago, because, you know, it is just hard. And I do see that is happening for so many other people as well. But that doesn't mean that the fight is over. That doesn't mean that in Iran, people aren't asking for change. They're creating that change themselves. The image of women not wearing hijab is just ordinary right now. Many people who have been in Iran recently, who've been traveling, the images that come out, the videos that come out, just girls not wearing hijab is ordinary now. At the same time, we're having hardliners and people who believe in this system who are taking it upon themselves to enforce that rule. So we are actually seeing more and more violence towards women who are, choosing what to wear and making that choice for themselves. We also saw a horrible round of poisoning of schoolgirls in schools who were at the front line of the resistance. Gina Amini died, I think, maybe 2 weeks before the start of school year. So when the schools opened, when the universities opened, schoolgirls and people in university, they were the front line of resistance. They were taking their headscarves off. They were tearing up the pictures of Khomeini and Khamenei from their school books and using everything available to them to show the resistance. And 7 months later, what is happening? They're getting poisoned by poisonous gas. Nobody's taking responsibility. We're having reports of when these attacks are happening. The school CCTV camera is out. the principals are not letting parents coming in and collecting their children, and that's all happening. And that news is died down right now because the school year is over. But there's no guarantee that when the next school year comes around in 3 months, those attacks will stop or continue. We don't know. It might. And Islamic Republic is definitely not sitting silent. They have executed about more than 10 of the protesters who they have arrested and convicted for their made-up crimes that they use in their legal system justifying their actions. And there are still many more protesters in prison who their lives are in danger. And they are still putting pressure on the families of protesters who have died. Just last week, two families who their children have died, not even during the protest, which is, it happened, it's kind of like surreal that two families, their children, one Abulfaz Adinazadeh, he was 16, he got shot point blank. He wasn't even in a protest. And another one, Kian Pirfalak, 9 years old. Same situation. Both of those families hold ceremonies at the cemetery for the birthday of their children. Both of the families were arrested. And the news coming out is that they are asked for huge bond for their release. And another one of the family members of Kian Pirfalak was also shot dead during the struggle between the forces, between the police forces and their families. This is still happening. It's not over. I understand that keeping up with this news in the intensity that we were 7-6 months ago is not possible for individuals, but international media and representatives and democratic elected representatives of different countries, that's their job. They have resources to keep up with this news. They have resources to keep updated, to to be on top of it and act accordingly and swiftly. So that's what they should do.
Yeah. Thanks, Nazanin. Before we wrap up the interview, can you please tell us about Feministum Melbourne and anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, thank you. So we basically kind of like started creating this group because we needed a platform to organize our efforts. Most of us knew each other from before the revolution, so just friends and neighbors who knew each other. But then we wanted to create a platform for more and more people to be able to join us, to find a space for the activism, a safe space that they can protect their identity, that they can use the resources. So that's basically what the group's aim is. We found that art is really helping us to communicate our message in a way that is also healing for ourselves at the same time, is a space for us to grieve, share our pain, and communicate that in a way that we know. And if you're interested in the work that we do, if you want to support us, please follow us on Instagram, feminista, so feminista.melbourne. We want to do more. And so far we have done upwards of 10 public art installations, almost 3 performance pieces, and this mural in Brunswick Bad Gym Entrance is our first commissioned piece. It was commissioned by Marybeck City Council. They were really amazing in supporting this work. But everything else we have done before this piece, we had to self-fund and collect donations. So that really helps us when there is support, when there's people coming in and helping us on the day. And we are open to non-Farsi speakers. So, yeah, don't think that you have to be Iranian to be part of this. If this is a platform that you'd like to use, come and talk to us.
Great. Thanks, Nazanin, for coming on the show. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, anyone interested in feminist and community art and resistance will appreciate all the work you've done in getting that mural up. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And you were just hearing from Nazanin from Feminista Melbourne talking about a mural that she's painted as part of a collective, Feminista Melbourne, and that was a tribute to Gina Amin, who was killed by the morality police in Iran last year, and in solidarity with the Women Life Freedom Movement.